Time now for Journey to Wellness in Indian Country, a feature here on KUMD supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And I'm so pleased to welcome Jeremy Neville Sorrell as the guest in the studio for Mending the Sacred Hoop. Jeremy, this information you gave me on this new project you're working on is just fascinating. I've got it all scribbled over with orange already as I'm looking at different things. Tell us a little bit about this program.
Well, good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me on your show again. Well, this work that we're doing right now, it's been the evolution of many years of trying to intervene and stop violence against women. And this project that I've been working on is called Wichah Ugly, and it's Lakota for bringing men back. And that whole concept of bringing men back is that when we look at all the violence today in the community, and particularly stats against violence against Native women, they're just overwhelming. And we have a lot of men. There's a lot of good men out there, but we call them bystanders or people who sit on the sidelines. They don't really do much to actually intervene or participate and all that. So when you look at the big issues as of recently in Hollywood, the Harvey Weinsteins and all of that, you see many, many opportunities for men to do something but stand by and do nothing. And so that's what we're trying to do, is trying to engage men in the community to raise awareness foremost, and to get men engaged and participate in some way.
This gets to be maybe a lot more complicated than it needs to be, but it does get complicated. I remember the first time that I saw on social media something that said something that had to do with, you know, women don't need to worry about what time of day they're out. They don't need to worry about what clothes they're wearing. Men need to not rape.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it made an impression on me at the time, because as a woman, an older woman, okay, who grew up in a different time through the 60s and 70s, and, you know, but has been told all along to be mindful of what you're wearing, where you're going, you know, basically to take on the responsibility for keeping myself safe. And I don't think anybody had ever come right out and said, hey, you should be able to wear what you want, go where you want, and men shouldn't rape you. And it just sort of seemed like, wow, this is something really different. And then, of course, this Me Too hashtag thing. How does that make you feel as a man to see, just in your community with your family and friends? Did you see a lot of Me Too hashtags popping up in your social media?
Oh, definitely. And particularly because I do the violence against women work. It was, 90% of those hashtags. But there was a lot of friends of mine who don't do this work who also had that same hashtag. So for me, it's not very surprising that there's that many. I think one of the biggest differences is that in Native communities, you have that hashtag could be repeated four times for the one person. You know, it's that kind of, like, someone could be sexually assaulted once in their lifetime. In the Native communities, we're looking at childhood, teenage, adulthood, and, you know, many times over. And so that's a really big issue. It's also a really big one for when we're doing this, getting men together, having conversations. How many of us have been sexually assaulted as children? And so you got all of this that impacts men's behavior from being either physically or sexually abused as children, and how we carry that into adulthood. And it creates a whole, like, imbalance of what a healthy relationship is, what are healthy boundaries. And, when someone has that loss of power when they're little like that, they may try to exert that power in adulthood. And so that's where someone who's going to be sexually assaulted as little may be a perpetrator later on in adult. And that's one of those challenges that we have in our communities. We know that there's a lot of men who've been physically, sexually abused as children, but we carry that into adulthood. And if we're not really addressing some of that, we're not going to be healthy people in order to move forward.
Well, I know there was even conversation about the Me Too hashtag, you know, in the communities at large, society at large, people saying this doesn't make a place for men who have been assaulted. And for men who have been assaulted, it seems as though women, there's a lot of support there for women, but the same support doesn't really exist for men, and that it would be a lot more frightening. There'd be a lot more at stake for a man to step forward and say, this happened to me.
Yeah, it's a challenge, you know. Every time we get into the communities and do the engagement piece, people want to see who's the bigger victim. It's always, well, men get assaulted too, men this too. But that's one of the cautions we have in organizing with engaging men, because we don't want to become we're victims also, or we're a unrecognized or underserved victim population. We want to make sure that violence against women gets addressed as well. Like, that is a huge social problem, because as men, we don't get conditioned in that training to look out for safety. We're not groomed as children to say, watch out what you wear, where you go at night, walk with a friend, keep your keys between your fingers,
right,
and keep
right.
your cell phone on 9-1.
And to look at every time that you are in a hallway or an elevator or on the street or in a building and you are someplace and there is a lone man there, mm-hmm. to wonder, I mean, it just sort of, you know, and then you, as a after a while, you don't even really realize that, you know, is this going to turn into a situation
right.
of some sort? One of the things that's really interesting in this information that you gave me as background is that when you understand movements that work to undo oppression and create social change, you don't rely on the historical oppressors to be the ones to be the liberators of that oppression.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, the message really does have to be, don't rape,
yes.
don't oppress. And then something else that was really interesting is the idea that those with power, in this instance men, mm-hmm. have to use that power to give voice to those not being heard, give up that power to make space for those not being heard, and not use that power to retaliate when they don't like what was said.
Mm-hmm.
And there also is a sense that I think women get kind of protective, and I'm not judging it, but I think many people get protective of their turf, and it's like, no, we're leading this. We decide
yes.
because we are the people against whom this violence has been perpetrated, and if you step up too much, we're going to slap you down mm-hmm. and tell you no. No, that's not what we want. And so that's what I guess I meant when I said that it gets really complicated.
Yes, it is. It is complicated. And people are at their different levels of learning and understanding. Anyone very new to learning about this, of any type of human rights type of activist work, when you're new to it, whether it's dealing with sexism, heterosexism, racism, anytime you're new, you're pretty raw when this is coming out. So your anger and energy and emotion is going to be right there. If someone who's been around a long time, they will recognize that. So they allow that person to express that voice and be that way. So as a man, if we get challenged, we have to be able to accept that challenge from anyone, from any woman, no matter where she's at on her level of understanding, because that's also her reality. You know, we're touching on things where it's like, you know, me as a person of color, you know, I have the same skepticism when I see white people or organizations say they're going to address racism. I'm like, okay, yeah, what's going to do? Roll my eyes, kind of stuff, like whatever. And then, but when you really engage in honest conversation, and then you can really move somewhere with that, because that's the one thing that we really want to emphasize is not having men come into this work and try to take it over, because that's, you know, that's that first line that you read about the oppressors trying to undo it, but because we'll ultimately work around to our benefit one way or another, just because it's in our minds that way, it's in our psyches that way.
And I think to be clear, it isn't always deliberate. In some instances, yeah. maybe it is, but I think in many cases, it's just we don't get the owner's manual to
yeah.
what's between our ears. And boy, do we need it. And, you know, and they teach us algebra in school when they should be teaching us self-reflection
yes.
and critical, you know, to look at ourselves critically. We could skip algebra. We could just do that instead.
Yeah. Well, we do that in our intervention work. You know, we always say talk with women, talk with victims to guide your response. It's the same way we want to encourage that in your personal lives. Like, how do you make that connection? There's a... a friend of mine who talked about he did intervene in a situation, and he was stepping up and thought he was doing well by challenging a person, and then that person ended up retaliating against his partner. You know, so there's people who do that kind of stuff. You know, one story from way back in the day when we were younger in our teens, we had a female friend of ours who disclosed that a male friend of ours had raped her. And I wasn't the only one she told. She told other people. And we asked him, did he do it? And, of course, he denied it. And I talked with a couple of the other friends who all knew. And we all had that conversation, but we were stuck. Like, we didn't know how to address this. And we're like, feel like, okay, we believe her, but we don't know how to handle our male friend. And it's unfortunate what ended up happening is that female friend ended up drifting away and being kind of ignored. And while the perception looks as if we didn't care about what she right. experienced and that we still stood behind this man.
Sure.
And so that's one of those things about, you know, not going and doing something without her, but also we could have been more supportive towards her. Like, we could have checked in with her more and just to make sure that she really visibly and, you know, had our attention and had our time and that we were concerned about her. But, you know, and that's what happens in society. You know, the victim slowly fades away, and someone who's got any sort of status and within the group, that raises them up that much higher.
Or it's just uncomfortable, and you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one size fits all doesn't always no. fit all. No. There are some Native-specific tools that they talk about that can help Native communities as you go into Native communities and do this work. Can you just mention some of those briefly?
Well, we have some activities, some videos that have been working on. There's a few pieces out there. We worked on one project that was called Making Space to Rise, and that's getting men involved in trying to deal with sexual violence, and that was through the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. That stuff's on their website. There is other material in that. We're actually trying to create a resource site on our resource page on the Wichagli website so that people can access this more freely and use it for bringing up awareness and having public events and getting people on that conversation.
Well, this is a fascinating project, a fascinating program, and it's one of the things, many things that's fascinating about it is the way it can be adapted, as you said, to mm-hmm. a lot of different situations, you know, in the lives of a lot of different people. It isn't just specifically for women being victims of violence and just for the man-woman dynamic. There's a lot of different ways that we can use it as a tool to learn more mm-hmm. about what's going on.
Yes.
Get a couple more pages to the owner's manual of what's between your ears. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming in. It's always a great treat.
Thank you.
Jeremy Neville Sorrell, our guest this morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country, supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Good morning and welcome to North